Hello, my name is Rich Johnson, lead pastor at Sanctuary Columbus Church, and we're continuing in our sermon series today, Transformed, the New Has Come. Now, this is our third week of doing online worship service because of COVID-19 and being forced into our homes to shelter down or what I call stay your butt at home. And for the last 2 weeks, I have not had a haircut or a beard trim. The next time y'all see me, I just might look like my brother Mario. Brother Mario with the dreads. Got a hat on right here, but he's a student at Ohio State, serves with Young Life. Brother Mario and I got a lot in common, maybe even more than the dreads that we'll share together when we come back from COVID-19. We're both African-American, good-looking, God-fearing men, both in great shape and actually both wrestlers, as a matter of fact. We do have a little bit of difference, though. I'm married, and Brother Mario is in a long-distance relationship with Kate. By long distance, I mean because COVID-19 got them socially distancing themselves from one another, right here in the same city and town. But this isn't about Mario and Kate. Although they both attend Ohio State together and share community there, and they both serve with Young Life and share community in their service and mission to reaching high school and even middle school students, Kate actually, when she started coming to Sanctuary, her parents started to come to Sanctuary as well, and they've started to find community. And in fact, if we were together in the building, in the same place, I would be wishing a happy 25th anniversary to Kim and John Allison. Here it is. Praise God, 25 years. Now, today is not actually their anniversary. It's not until Wednesday, April the 1st. Can you believe that? They actually chose April 1st, April Fool's Day, as their wedding day. But this is no joke. We're so grateful. Congratulations. And I want to pray for you now. So please join me in praying for Kim and John Allison. Dear Heavenly and Most Gracious Father, I thank you for the life, the ministry of marriage, and the legacy that these two have been able to share together for 25 years. I thank you, God, for your grace that has allowed them to stay together. And I pray, God, for grace to abound for 25 more. I pray that their marriage be a witness, God, to their children, that husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and that wives are called to respect their husbands in all things as they lead their families. And they do this, Lord God, out of a mutuality of submission to one another and their life together. Though they don't get to have the special dinner they were planning or the big trip to Italy, they have each other. And let us be reminded that having each other is more than any trip or special dinner can afford. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you, John. God bless you, Kim. Thank you. Our message today is called Communitas. We'll be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And that word, communitas, one single word, is a Latin word that equals pursuing our life together in the image of Christ. Communitas is more than just participating in a social club. It's more than just a group of friends who look alike, think alike, or talk similarly. Communitas is the community of beloved children following the Jesus way of life. Communitas, despite the work that it takes to pull it off and the fights that you endure when you're in it, learn to do it out of the humility and the character and the construction of Jesus Christ. Together, we are learning how to be made in the image of Christ, and together, we are transformed into Christ's image. There's no way that we do this alone, that Jesus brings us, as we become newly formed in Christ, into a new family, a new body, a new community, where we join together in being made into his image. And so Colossians 3:16 describes what I'm getting after today. The Word of God reads like this: Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is the word of the Lord. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Most of my context for today comes from the book Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the world's greatest theologians who we did not get to hear from enough because his life was cut tragically short in a concentration camp during World War II. In his book, Life Together, though, he gives us a deceptively packed, full of truth, small volume describing communal living as a church body. Bonhoeffer not only explores what life together in the body looks like biblically, he also does that practically. And he shows how Christians should interact by warning us of the dangers of too much community, as well as the dangers of too much solitary. He writes on the subject, wanting us to understand how we are made in the image of God is not brought together on our own, but it is in relationship with others who are pursuing this same journey. And he unpacks these two words that we find throughout the New Testament, written in the Gospels, as well as in the letters of Paul, James, and John. One another. Two words we have in our English translation, but only one word in Greek, allelon, which means to be bound together, united together, gripped together, not isolated from one another, not independent of one another, but interdependent together. And there are three things that I want us to pursue, and then I want us to get an opportunity where we see this happening here today. Number one, we pursue a life together where love is created. Love is that centerpiece of community because love is what God shares among God's self. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and together they love the Spirit, and the Spirit gives honor and glory to the communal God that we serve. But this love is to be created, not just consumed. Bonhoeffer says, the person who loves their dream of community will destroy community. But the person who loves those around them will create community. In other words, if we lift up our dream and ideal of community, we will fight tooth and nail to protect it, missing out on the very aspect, the very key indicator of what community ought to look like, a place of love. And we do this by practically loving those who are around us. That creates the community that we endeavor to see, whether that's a church or a family or some friends who are living as housemates together or even in your workplace and in your neighborhood. The person who loves those around them is the one who creates community. Secondly, pursue a life together where grace is practiced. Pursue a life together where grace is practiced. Throughout these one another passages, over and over again, Paul is articulating, and James and John and Peter, they're reminding us that grace is something not just to be theorized, it is something to be practiced. It's not just something to be discussed or talked about. It's to be lived out. And it is this lived out grace with one another where we are reminded that there is no perfect people allowed, that there is no one better than the other, that we are all equal at the foot of the cross, and we are all able to be resurrected in the goodness in the new body, which is in Christ Jesus. Grace is the place that creates a safety for us to ask hard questions, for us to wrestle with doubts, for us to express our insecurities and to name our fears. Grace is the place where we say we are on this journey together, made into the image of Jesus Christ, where we are pointed not to our own opinions and ideas, but we are pointed to the grace that comes from Jesus alone. Bonhoeffer said this: "We are called as the body of Jesus to mutually bear each other's burdens faithfully, prayerfully, and practically as Jesus did for us." Jesus modeled the way of a beloved children of God by bearing the burdens of one another, by taking our burdens to even to the Father through prayer, and by practically offering and creating the environment where all are equal at the foot of his cross. This is the kind of environment that we envision in Christian community, where we are transformed not by the browbeating, not by the judgment, but by the grace of God that compels us to move away from a false identity and to wrap our arms around the identity found in Jesus Christ. Now, before COVID-19, I'm grateful for the fact that we already had groups in place for love to be created and for grace to be practiced. We had several groups meeting all around Columbus, Ohio, community groups of mixed gender, as well as if tables for women's ministry and specialty groups where people are wrestling through faith and culture together. And most of these groups already have made their transition to a virtual community where they at least get to see each other. But my burden is also for those who are not in community. Maybe you started coming in January or February or March, just before all this happened, and you have yet to get into a community where grace is practiced and where love is created. Would you pray for us over these next few days, in fact, for us to create the virtual community for new people to come and be a part and experience life together? As well as for those who are interested in creating community for others. Maybe you've been coming to Sanctuary and you participated in community before, and you say, listen, I'll do a specialty group just for 5 weeks or 6 weeks. Please email me so we can extend the opportunity of this grace together. And then lastly, pursue a life together where service is celebrated. The question right now is, what is church in the midst of COVID-19? When we have a building that we're not able to meet in, where we have people, but we're not able to interact with. And I think it's challenging a lot of assumptions and maybe perhaps even challenging a lot of idolatry we've had about church and community that God never intended. Think about it this way, the way Bonhoeffer does. The church does not need brilliant personalities, but faithful servants of Jesus and the brethren. Perhaps the challenge to the church today is that we've been building it not on the service of Jesus to one another, but we've been building it off of brilliant personalities. People who can talk good and sing good and tell funny jokes here and there, and we call it church. Instead of making it about Jesus Christ and our service to one another and how we're growing and transformed believers in sharing our gifts together, we've made it about individuals, professional Christians with professional gifts that deserve professional attention. I'm challenged by this, church, because when we gather together, we ought to be asking ourselves critically, what is church? And if church is about a building or a personality, it is less than what Christ has intended it to be. I think one of the benefits right now is that we have become overnight not just a church with groups, but a church of groups, where more people are instantly in the place where they're drawing their strength from Jesus as well as from the fellowship and communion of one another. And so I want to pause here, because I've asked some friends who I know you don't get to see often, and it's not just about my voice, so that they might share a teaching, a scripture, an admonishment, a song to encourage our very hearts. Listen to the church, be the church.
Okay, this is Michael Hill from Sanctuary Columbus Church. And even though we haven't had church in about three weeks now, God is still in control, and he wants you to know that just be patient, it all will be over soon. And I miss you guys at Sanctuary Church. I miss the children. I miss my church family. I miss the building. I miss working there. And I just want everybody to know that I haven't seen nobody in person except for Mr. Johnson.
Hey.
And he's here at my house doing a video and everything. I told him that I miss everybody. He said, well, let me come over and do a video. I said, well, I thought about it for a minute, then I couldn't resist that. Because I want people to know that just be patient. Mm-hmm. And that God is, everything is in God's hands. Everything is for a reason right now.
Yeah.
You know, even though, you know, some people might feel like, some people say the world coming to the end and everything. No, the world's not coming to an end. We're just hitting a bump in the road, but we'll be over that bump.
Come on.
Real soon.
Yeah.
And I just pray that I've been talking to the Lord and everything, asking the Lord, why is everything going the way it's going? But the Lord is telling me that because he's God and he's in control.
Mm.
And our faith is being tested right now.
Mm.
But God want to draw you near him.
Mm-hmm.
And the stronger we are with this virus and knowing that we can't walk in fear, we walk in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray that that it all will be over with soon. But God been giving me this vision, telling me that in April, around April the 10th, that we're going to be at church. Yep. We're going to be back at church. Because this stuff only can last for so long.
Mm-hmm.
No virus in the world is going to last for so long. But let's just be patient, be strong, and just, you know, just pray for one another, pray for me and my family. I'm praying for you and your family. I'm praying for all the beautiful kids at Sanctuary Church. I'm praying for the new members of Sanctuary Church that don't know me, but now you do, after Rich get done with this video. And I miss you guys. I miss everybody.
Yeah.
But if anybody want to reach out to me and want to call me or anything, or want to pray for me or my family as I pray for you and your family, you know, you could get my number for Rich, or you could call him. Rich will give you my number. You could call me, because I would love to hear from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless you all. Mm-hmm. Hang in there and be strong, because I'm being strong.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Lydia, for those who I haven't met yet. I wanted to take a second and share some encouragement with you. A quote that I heard the other day is, God doesn't care how you spend your life, he cares about how you spend your days. And that quote really stuck out to me because all of our days look so different right now. I know I'm in my second week of working from home. Schools are closed, kids are trying to do school from home, teachers are scrambling to put together their lessons to teach online. There's a lot going on. With that comes a lot of emotion, fear, anxiety, frustration. I know that I've felt a lot of different things in the past, you know, few weeks as we get new developments every day. But right now, we can all stay connected. We can all stay in touch through text, through phone call. But also we can be praying together or on our own, and just making sure that we're intentional about being with God, you know, acknowledging his presence with us in all of this and asking, you know, what is your purpose in this? What is your purpose in my days looking so different? What is your purpose in the world coming to a halt? How are you trying to get her attention, God? So I just thought of the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, because it really does capture this whole moment of we are taking a big pause, trying to stay healthy, trying to stay safe. And in this time, we can turn our eyes to Jesus and hopefully let all those fears, let all those frustrations melt away as we come into closer contact with him, come into access with him, who is able and capable to take care of us in this time. The song, I'm sure you've heard it before, but I would encourage you to listen to it this week, to have worship in your home, to find some worship music that you can worship to with your family, and just still have that time to really connect with God in song. But the song is, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I hope that you can turn your eyes upon Jesus and that these things will grow strangely dim, but that you can feel his presence and his purpose in these days. Love you guys.
Hi there, Sanctuary family. My name is Micah Morgan, if I haven't had the privilege of meeting you in person. And I'm just honored to be able to share a few of my thoughts with you today as a part of Pastor's sermon. You know, as I've been hibernating in my home, as many of you have been, in order to collectively get this coronavirus under control, I've found myself thinking a lot about this book that I picked up last year called The Very Good Gospel by Lisa Sharon Harper. In this book, Lisa spends some time helping us understand the meaning of the word good. And she talks about how for us here today in the present, we tend to use the word good to describe the essence of things. So we'll say things like this book is good or this food is good. But then she helps us understand that for the people who would have been passing along the creation story thousands of years ago by word of mouth or by writing it down, they understood the word good to have to do with the space between things, to have to do with relationships. The reason I've been thinking about this is because I've noticed how the space between us has changed in the last few weeks. Now, what we can't ignore is that the space between us has been scarred in many ways. We've watched as our family members or ourselves, how we've been affected by this virus, how our jobs have been affected by this virus. And there's a lot of fear between us. There's a lot of anxiety. But alongside of that, I've also noticed how the space between us has softened. It's been filled with a lot more empathy, understanding, compassion. Some of you have noticed how there's been a lot of focus, a lot of talk about how the social distancing is beneficial to the vulnerable in our culture, beneficial to those of a certain age group, those with immunodeficiency disorders. So much of that involves us thinking of others, anticipating their needs, empathizing with them. And so when I think about how Lisa describes the moment where God looks over creation shortly after making everything and he declares it good and very good, I'm struck by the fact that even now, he's still making the space between things good. I'm grateful that he doesn't ask us to ignore the scarring that's happening between us. I think he invites us to lament and that he joins with us in that lamenting. But I'm also grateful that he's showing us that even alongside of that scarring, there is still love that's happening between us, compassion, goodness. And so I invite you to focus on that, to be grateful for it, to even say out loud the things between us that are good even now, And I think you might notice that a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear will melt away as you spend some time thinking of those things. I pray you are well, and I look forward to the time where I can see you in person again. Bless you.
Man, those are some encouraging words. We're going to put those words out individually so that you can go back and listen to those encouraging and inspiring words later. And let me pause just for a second for two things and just ask you this. For one, I miss being together. I miss that, being able to embrace each other and to hear how each other is doing, to hear kids laugh and scream and run. I do. I hope we don't lose the sense of what it's like to be together physically in the same place while we are apart. I hope that it creates a bit of longing in this long distance relationship we find ourselves in right now, such that when we come together, we will know the true strength and value of being transformed in communitas. So here are my reflection questions for you today. Number one, in what ways can you create a more loving environment for your family, small group, or even your workplace? Number two, is it easy or difficult for you to extend grace to others? Why or why not? And number three, make a list of ways you can share your gifts with others this week and go do it. Remove the obstacles. Over the past week, my family got the gift of Timbits dropped at the door with a book and a card, and it was so encouraging as we got to receive that gift and a wave from a distance. And then some other friends dropped by the house and sent us a text message and hung out in the street as we came out and stood on the sidewalk and did the best we could to have a long distance conversation without too much touching. A text message, a video, a word of scripture, a prayer, a nod on Facebook or some other social media creates a way for us to know that we are in this together. This past week also, there was someone new to Sanctuary, just kind of passing through for the time being, who dropped off several gift cards to Kroger so that we can give them out to families in need. Already at Sanctuary, we've been impacted greatly where one family has lost a job, both husband and wife, and are working to figure it out, and as a church family, we want to figure it out with them. And you heard Michael. Give him a call. Sometimes that's all it takes to encourage one another. Well, the other thing I miss by not being together is communion. Yeah, that time where we come together to take the bread and the cup of Jesus. So if you've got your bread and cup, why don't you go ahead and get that now? Maybe you've got a piece of fruit, if you want to share that fruit with your little one as a precursor. Or, you know, right now, today, we're all in, you know. We're all in. Maybe you don't have bread, but you got a cracker. Maybe you don't have that. You got a Tostitos chip. Right now, it's about taking this body and this cup together in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us to make us into one body, where we get to share in this one anotherness. And we do this even virtually, that we might share in this together. And so I've got my Insta communion here to receive the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for me, broken for you, that we might be one. Take and eat all of it. And then the cup of Jesus, which is his blood shed for us. When he met with his disciples, he said, "This cup, it is my blood, and a new covenant I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you." Take and drink all of it. Thus concludes our time together. You know, if you are looking for a community group, please email me and look for more information in the weekly news this week about the virtual community that we will open up and create for those who would like to be a part. Additionally, I'm leading a midday prayer on Facebook just for about 30 minutes for us to join together in prayer. And we have some other prayer opportunities that we're going to be sharing together over this next week as we try to stay connected to each other virtually. And some of these will be in that direct way, kind of one to others. We'll create some other opportunities where we can share together so we can actually hear from you and hear from one another as we pray together. But I want to invite us to do this together. And I want us to also think about giving to our benevolence fund so that we can be a blessing to our own body and to help those who are going through financial difficulty right now. And perhaps even ways in which we can give to offset some of the burden for families, things like childcare, as well as things like masks. Believe it or not, that is a real thing. I want to thank you for being a part of Sanctuary as a family member, or maybe even watching from some other place. Thank you. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon.